now, Faith, Family, and Freedom with Curtis Bowers. He's a husband, father of nine, former state legislator, entrepreneur, patriot, and the producer of the award-winning film, Agenda, Grinding America Down.
Hello, this is Curtis Bowers. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're staying safe. 2020, I think, is going to turn out to be one of the most dramatic turning points in American history. And I want to talk to you today about how we can make it a turning point in the right direction. The Marxist revolution that is afoot across our nation has some positives to it. I know that's hard to believe, but what it's doing is forcing us to acknowledge we have an enemy within, and they really do want to destroy our country. And if we don't stand up against them and stop them, they will succeed. The fact of the matter is, this revolution has been going on for 60, 70 years, but we were able to pretend it wasn't because it wasn't in our face like it is right now. The buildings weren't burning. The protesters weren't demanding death to America. So we thought, oh, it's okay. Well, today, I want to talk to you about engaging the revolution. Recently, we had the Agenda films free to watch on YouTube for a short period, and hundreds of thousands of people watched them. And so many of them emailed me and said, these films are prophetic. They are telling exactly what's going on today, even though Agenda was made 10 years ago. And I'm very encouraged that people see it that way and appreciate their kind compliments. But here's the reality. If you plot 1950 America on a graph and you plot 2020 America on that same graph and you draw a line, you see exactly where we're heading. So it's not prophetic as much as it is when you're a student of history, you can see the future very clearly. What happened is in 1960s America, like the Titanic, we hit an iceberg. Okay, when the rebellion of that generation set us on a course of rebelling against all tradition, all truth, all common sense, and all history, what we're reaping now is simply the fruit of those actions. Rebellion always destroys. Rebellion for the sake of rebellion. And that's what's amazing. The 60s rebellion was rebellion against everything, even things that didn't make sense to rebel against, if you just are looking on the surface. For instance, in your town, in almost every town in America, you can look at all the government buildings, and you know which ones were made in the 60s and 70s. They were the ugly ones where the architecture of them was rebelling against the tradition of colonial or the different traditions we had had. They were rebellion. They're the cold concrete buildings with the straight lines. They look like a warehouse or something. And what those were is architects who had been influenced in the colleges to rebel against tradition. And so they said, oh, we were going to do something different. Well, in making sure what they were doing had nothing in common with the past, they had to go and create something that was incredibly ugly. Because before that, architecture always was trying to make things beautiful and interesting and make it lift your spirits when you look at it, because you're like, wow, that's a beautiful, magnificent building. And they wanted to not have any of those qualities in their architecture, so they had to go Soviet Union style, and you see them in every town. In my town, you go, oh, there's the 60s and 70s buildings. You can point them out next to the ones that were built 100 years ago that are beautiful architecturally, or even some of the modern ones that have more of a beauty to them. My niece married a guy who's an incredible architect, and his buildings are beautiful and interesting, and they make you want to just sit there and look at them like they're a piece of art. That's what architecture is supposed to be about. But in the 60s, all it was about is rebellion against that. You also look at the art. Almost every statue or piece of art that has been put in cities and towns across our country in the last 50 years is twisted metal. It's grotesque. It's meaningless. Why would they call that art? as compared to the Statue of David that Michelangelo made. Why would they call that art when there's no talent involved in it? There's no beauty. There's no skill. My five-year-old could make something even prettier than that and more meaningful than that. Well, it's rebellion. And that's where it always ends. And what's interesting, if you go back to the current communist goals from the 1940s and 50s, they had that listed out. Goal number 22, this is pretty amazing. Eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings and substitute shapeless, awkward, meaningless forms. They knew if you want America to collapse from within, you need to rebel in every area, even art, so that there's no definitive answer to the question, what is beauty and what is ugliness? What is purposeful and what is meaningless? They tried to confuse all that because they knew we would collapse as a culture from within if we bought into that lie that there is no definitive truth in anything. Another key lie that was sold to the 60s radicals and has been sold now in our educational systems to our children and grandchildren is the lie that the standard we're shooting for in America is perfection. Well, obviously, perfection can never be attained. When that is your standard, you never reach it, so there's always discontent. There's always people fighting to destroy what's left, and you're doomed. And that's what we see in our country right now. We don't look at all the progress we've made in race relations and how we treat all people in the standard of living for Americans and on and on. We don't look at the success like, wow, we've come a long way over the last 100 years. All we look at is it's not perfect. If there's even one incident of something bad happening racially or a poor person existing in America, then this system is broken and must be destroyed. They never talk about, wow, we've really come a long way. We've really accomplished a lot. And also comparing us to the countries of the world where we realize there's no country in the world that even is close to America. Those in poverty in America that are on welfare in the inner city, they live like kings compared to the rest of the world. And anyone that doesn't think that is the case, they have not traveled. I've been through South America and Asia and Europe and all over. And the poor in America, you go to the Philippines, they're living on a dirt floor with a piece of tin over their heads. We have been given so much and we're not grateful for it. So it causes us to complain, which causes us to be rebellious. We're the only country in the world people are fighting to get into. Hardly any other country in the world are people swarming their borders and trying to come in by the hundreds of thousands every month. We're the only ones. And yet the left, the liberals, the progressives that are Marxist, that are trying to check off these communist goals because they want to do away with America, they are trying to convince everyone America is the most evil country in the world. And of course, that isn't true. One of the things that's important to face is how far we have really come since 1950. Our morality, our families, our educational system, our media, Hollywood. Do you realize back in 1960, there was the Protestant Film Office. It was a panel of pastors. And if they didn't put their stamp of approval on a movie, it could not be shown in the theaters across America. I mean, that's how far we've come. And there was all these standards that films had to adhere to be shown because we cared about our children. We cared about the people in this country and we didn't want them to be lied to where they thought, oh, you can do whatever you want and there's no consequences. You can do whatever you want and everything works out the same. Well, it doesn't. In our country today, as it is collapsing, we see that. But most people aren't taking that away from the equation. They're not realizing, wow, when you do whatever you want, when you rebel against tradition, when you rebel against morality, when you rebel against the structures of the family, the church, and the state, you have total decimation. So the reason I told you all of this is to let you see, even in areas like art, architecture, entertainment, etc., all the changes you have seen in this country over your lifetime have been purposeful. We have been in a war for decades, and they're the only ones that know that. All the change that's happened in America has been people that hate this country seeking to destroy. We are at war. It is time to wake up. Guess what? If there's a war going on and only one side is fighting, who do you think's going to win? I actually have been encouraged over the last few days and realize if we all wake up and if we start fighting this war, because we now realize it is a war, I think there is great hope that God will bless our efforts. And it's not going to be easy. It never is. But there's things that we need to do to help all their evil and deceitful plans to backfire. They are working right now actively, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to create the circumstances for a revolution. But here's some encouraging things. I don't know if any of you saw the video of Los Angeles, California from July 4th, the evening. The governor has said, if you get together, if you have firework displays, you can be fined up to $50,000 and be put in jail. And if you see the video of that night, there was just in the view of the one camera shooting across the city, tens of thousands of people shooting off fireworks in their backyards. Tens of thousands. When it was a $50,000 fine to do that, that's encouraging. And for some of you Christians that have been lied to by your pastors in thinking, well, that's wrong to disobey. It is not wrong to disobey someone who has no authority over you and is outside of their jurisdiction. If the governor tells you to stay in your home and you do not stay in your home, that is not disobedience. The governor has no authority to tell you to stay in your home. But anyway, I want you to know, don't think you have to obey an order from anyone when they're giving you an order that they do not have the authority to give you. It's like if someone stepped into your home and said, you got to make me a steak dinner, and it was a police officer or it was a governor. You don't go, oh, it's the governor, so I have to obey him. No, he has no authority inside the walls of your home. So you can tell him, please leave now. And he has to obey you because that is where you have authority. We have to know and understand jurisdictions. Otherwise, we are in a very dangerous position if we are naive to proper authority, real authority, and imagined authority. Well, we've seen over the last 6 months, there are so many different things that can happen. It might be a pandemic. It might be natural disasters. It might be rioting and people seeking to start a revolution. It might be something else. But we need to be prepared. So step one of us being able to start fighting back and start being prepared so we're not so easily manipulated by all the propaganda out there is to be prepared. You need a minimum of 2 months of food, medicines, and other supplies in case things continue in this direction, which I think they're going to, or if they get worse. It's a really safe, purposeful place to be in when you could stay in your home if you needed to for several months and be just fine. To give yourself time to think through what should we do next. And so that's just a logical thing. And so be prepared. You need to be prepared to defend yourself also. There's a reason why our founding fathers put the Second Amendment in the Constitution. And unlike the liberals think, it wasn't so we could go target shooting or go hunting for food. It was so we could defend ourselves against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that's what it was about. And so to not be prepared when our forefathers warned us you need to be prepared is foolish. We need to be prayerful. The Bible tells us that hard times are coming, so we shouldn't be surprised when they do. We instead should be prayerfully asking God for clear direction. He promises to direct our path if we are acknowledging Him in all we do. So we need to be living like Christians. The reason this situation has grown to such dangerous proportions is because we have given our children to the enemy to raise now for generations. Some simple facts are this. In 1962, when prayer was taken out of the schools, if every Christian would have not allowed their children to go back to those schools the next day, guess what would have happened? Prayer would have been back in the schools the very next day. Because here's a fundamental thing we don't seem to understand. They need us. Their system cannot stay afloat without us. And yet we continue to prop them up by being involved in their system, even when it goes against everything we believe in. If Christians today said, no more, we're removing our children because of the sexual perversion, the lies about origins, the anti-God and anti-American venom that's being spewed every day, the schools would collapse overnight. They have to have our children, and so when we give them our children, we have to face the reality. We are the ones propping that up, and therefore we are the ones that are destroying our country by doing that, by being so cowardly and so pathetic that we wouldn't take our children out of a system that is destroying their hearts and their minds and their souls. That would be the most fundamental area that would start making a difference immediately. But that same principle works in so many other areas. In the 1960s, when Hollywood started putting the garbage in the movies, okay, like I already talked about a little bit, if we would have stayed home and said, we're not going to movies anymore because the garbage you're putting in there, guess what? They would still be making great, clean movies today because the theaters cannot stay afloat without us. And the same is true today. If we right now said, okay, from this point forward, no more. We're not spending one more penny polluting our minds with your garbage. Guess what would happen? The studios would collapse overnight. They have to have our money. So what does that mean? We're propping the vile, wretched entertainment culture up by being involved in it, by not being strong enough to say, you know what? We got to take a stand somewhere. We are at war. And if you don't take a stand, you are going to get what you deserve. And the heartbreak that's coming when you see you've lost all your kids and you're old one day looking back over your life and realize your life has been a complete waste of time. You did nothing with it of value. You never were willing to sacrifice. You never were willing to stand up for what is right. And because of that, not only were you destroyed and your family tree, but all those around you as well, and all those that could have been encouraged and uplifted and motivated by your example and your good testimony of doing things the right way, that didn't happen either. Another key area for Christians is this. Over the last few decades, if we would have changed churches when we first noticed the pastors were becoming more interested in gaining the affections of the world than preaching all of God's word, the vast majority of churches today would still be glorifying to God. But we didn't do that. See, our enemy is taking over the church. That's what you have to understand. These aren't Christians that have different views or it's people that hate the Bible but are using the church because they realize the power the church has in influencing people. They're using it as part of their battle to take America down. But the same does go today. If Christians right now, starting this Sunday, said no more, we're not going to reward pastors with our participation and tithes. If they're not standing boldly on God's word, we're not going to be involved. Guess what would happen? Things would change instantly. They have to have our attendance and money to survive. We are propping them up. And the same is true in so many different areas. But here's one other key area that it's happening. And this is an area I really believe we need to act prayerfully, carefully, purposefully. But the same is true with the liberal cities and states in America. When they first started rebelling against God and his principles by punishing productivity and rewarding sloth, and by being so anti-God in everything they do, their actions would have been stopped immediately if we would have said, we're moving out of this city then if you're going to do things that way. The city and state governments cannot survive without our taxes and productivity to keep them from bankruptcy. None of that would have happened. These cities wouldn't be so liberal. The Portland, Oregons, the Seattle, Washingtons, the Washington, D.C., and all the other cities that are just Minneapolis, Minnesota, that are rotten to the core. If we would have, decades ago, when they first started going crazy in the rebellion against God, if we just said, no way, I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to be here propping this thing up. They wouldn't be like they are today. But again, here's the great news. This area, like all the others, if we start today, if Christians and conservatives today said, no more, we are not going to live in places that hate God and his principles, they would collapse in a matter of months. They have to have our property tax, sales tax, income tax, payroll tax, inheritance tax, business tax, utilities tax, phone tax, and all the other taxes to exist. We are propping them up. But here's what's amazing. If conservatives and Christians started slowly congregating together in states that are more conservative, and you can research that and study that to find the ones that you like best that just have a more conservative Christian way of doing things, if that started happening over the next 12, 18, 24 months, those cities and states would start collapsing, which would expose the failure of who they are and what they do. And the states that are doing it right would be blessed by you bringing your wealth, your productivity, your businesses, your creativity, and character to those states. And it would just be a clear example to the young that are so ignorant. Wow, how come every state that is controlled by Democrats is collapsing and is like a war zone, and every state that is controlled by Republicans that are really conservative and really Bible-believing is so peaceful and harmonious and a wonderful place to live? I wonder what that's all about. We have to separate out. We need to remove ourselves and our families from their educational system, their culture, their entertainment, the media influences, churches, and I believe even the cities and states. Here's what we've seen lately, and we'll see more in the future. Liberals left to themselves will self-destruct. Look at what happened in Seattle with the little chop zone. They are not capable of producing the things necessary for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They have not the character, nor the skills, nor the morality to survive. And we need to separate out, like the Bible tells us, come out from among them and be ye separate. And we need to congregate together, which will be a blessing. The reality of us being at war needs to sink into your minds and hearts. This isn't going away. And you need to plan for the future as if this isn't going away. This is a battle. And there probably at some point is going to be a civil war. And nobody wants to talk about that. It's just a fact. You can't have half of the country wanting to go one way and half wanting to go the exact opposite way and have things survive. It's impossible. And the way they want us to go is to death and destruction. And we must say no. And we must get around each other where we can be in communities and cities and states where we can implement God's principles. We can stick with the Constitution, with the founders' original intent, and we can stick with the principles that God blesses so we don't have to end in destruction like they're going to. They will end in destruction, period. God will make sure of that. And why in the world be right next to them when they're going to be destroyed? Proverbs says, the companion of fools will be destroyed. I know this is a lot. This is kind of probably an overload for some of you, but just baby step into this reality of, I've got to do things differently. I've got to realize we're engaged in a battle and act like it and start engaging by preparing, by separating, by being prayerful, by moving to places where I will be a blessing to the people there and they will be a blessing to me. That's just common sense. The people of Israel, whenever they lived among the Philistines or whatever, they were always influenced in a bad way by them. And it destroyed them. God said, don't be separate from them. We're supposed to move out. The beauty of America is we were always so unified on the fundamentals up until the left started trying to create the divisions necessary to destroy us. Hatred stirreth up strifes. They have to create a culture of hate so they can stir up strife, so they can take advantage of that strife to create the chaos and hope for revolution and dramatic change from within. And we got to say no. Now listen, you need to go back through this and all the other podcasts to make sure you're getting this stuff down, you're understanding the times, and you're starting to make changes. Talk as a family, talk as couples about these things. You need a plan. And I'll talk more about this in the future, but we need a plan to engage this battle or we will lose, like we've been losing for 50 years. And God loves when we are willing to make sacrifices to please Him. And everything I mention is pleasing to Him. And we need to just do it. And I want to end with this. Don't do things that are inconsistent with what you believe, because every time you do, you are propping something up that shouldn't be propped up. Do you hear that? One more time, listen. Don't do things that are inconsistent with what you believe, like send your kids to schools that hate God if you say you're a Christian or a conservative, or go to movies that are filled with garbage when you say on the outside, well, I'm against that garbage, or so many other areas we are totally inconsistent. Don't do things that are inconsistent with what you believe, because every time you do, you're propping something up that shouldn't be propped up, that is evil. You're allowing it to grow stronger. You're allowing it to have more influence. And we cannot do that because we are at war for our country and for what is right. God bless you. Until next time, keep praying for our president, our country, and keep changing things in your life to make it more like it should be.
Please remember to subscribe to Faith, Family, and Freedom with Curtis Bowers, sharing the weekly podcasts with like-minded family and friends.